engage the enemy of your mind. Wake up! Engage the enemy of your mind with the truth.
Welcome to Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. With your host, Dr. David Berman, and now your co-host, the coach, Rob Lotito.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Smell the Truth Radio. I am the coach, Rob Lotito, with you. Always our host, Pastor David Berman. How are you, sir?
I'm good, my friend. I'm good. I'm ready to go on this show here. I really want people to understand what's going on here.
Yeah, part two of what is Islam, and pretty simple that we're trying to just walk through some educational points that we need to have as Christians. We need to understand discernment between what is truth and what is not truth. And after that show, Pastor, we were sitting here just chit-chatting. And the first episode, and the thing that amazes me most is some of this stuff just lives inside of you. You know it very well. And our worldview of things, I've always been told as a Christian, a worldview needs to be a Christ worldview. I believe these Islamic people, Muslims, have this same style for the Quran and for Allah. I don't understand it, but could you shed light on that for us today?
You mean their worldview is
their worldview, not the Christian worldview.
Yeah, their worldview is an Islamic worldview. It's completely different than a Judeo-Christian worldview.
Are they as passionate and as kind as we are? Because I always hear this kindness thing, and
Well, let me make this clear. I mean, I'm not suggesting for one second that every single Muslim is a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite the contrary. There are Muslim people that are not really into the Quran that much.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, not to offend Catholics, but you have your Catholics that go to church on Christmas and Easter. They never read their Bibles, never do anything. Certainly not all Catholics, but they're not really, into it. They would they would identify as Catholic, but they're not really into it. And you have lots of Muslim folks that they identify as Muslim. It's important to them that they identify that way, but they're not really super into it. However, if you look at the studies and the polls that are done, for example, the polling company CSP in 2015 polled Muslim Americans and asked them how they feel about ISIS, the beliefs of ISIS, the beliefs. And 38% of Muslim Americans say Islamic State beliefs are Islamic and are correct Islamic beliefs.
So
30%. So they're saying we looked it up. They're saying between 2 and 7 million Muslims in the country. Let's just for a moment take the lowest figure. Let's just say it's 2 million. Well, that's 700,000 Muslims who believe that ISIS is actually teaching true Islam. Now, 43% disagree, but the 43% is less than half that disagree, and the rest between the 43 and the 38 are not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is frightening that you have that many people in your country that believe that ISIS is actually Islamic. You know why they believe that, though? Because that's what Islam teaches.
Right.
Now, not everything that ISIS is doing, but a lot of it. Another ICM poll, a mirror poll. This is a mirror poll from Britain. The poll in 2015, 1.5 million British Muslims support the Islamic State. That's about half the population. It's about 50% say that the Islamic State is Muslim and they support them. Now, this is what's happening in Europe. The idea that, Islam is not really a problem, it doesn't support the Islamic State, I'm sorry, that's just not true. There are many Islamics that don't support that, but there are huge portions that do. And to put your head in the sand and act like it's not true is absurd. That's what so many of these progressive politicians do. They just refuse to see the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
There is a worldview, and the multicultural mindset is a super big problem in this country because this progressive multicultural nonsense, all cultures are the same, all cultures are as good as the next one, that's just simply not true. The culture of the Taliban is not a good culture.
Right.
There are many cultures. The culture of the Soviet Union during the time of the Soviet, when the Soviet Union was so strong, that culture was not a good culture. Taking people and throwing them in gulags because they disagree with you is not a good culture. The Islamic culture, the worldview, is completely different than the Judeo-Christian worldview. They do not view life the same way as we do. They do not view hardly anything the same way as we do. And so we make a huge mistake in the West assuming that the Islamic cultures are going to feel the way we did. And in fact, that's a huge mistake that George Bush made. He said, you know, everybody wants freedom. Well, the fact of the matter is everybody does not want freedom. Right. There are many Muslim people that just don't want freedom. They believe that they need to be ruled by those who are Islamic in charge.
So when we talk about ISIS and in this situation, what is ISIS? What is ISIS, Pastor? I mean, what does it stand for?
ISIS, you know, ISIS is an organization, Islamic State, that wants to bring back a caliphate. Now, this goes, not to be too complicated, but this goes all the way back to Sykes-Picot, which was the treaty made that really upset the Muslims in many ways, because the things that we understand about Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Egypt and all these countries, this is really Western powers that put these countries together from the standpoint of geographically. They said this, the Saudi Arabia and Jordan and all these places. And so it's a breakup really of the caliphate. And we know, of course, the Ottoman Empire had a massive, massive swatch of land, a caliphate over many, many, many years. They were brought to their knees eventually, of course, and the West kind of split up the Muslim lands and gave them to different people to run, the King of Jordan and Saudi Arabia, the House of Saud, and so on. And many Islamic, the Islamic Brotherhood, particularly in these Islamic people, are very upset at the West over that, and they feel that they should have all of the Muslim lands under one Islamic state, and it should all be a theocracy. It should be a caliphate with one caliph or one leader or king that is a Muslim king. So somebody like Muhammad was a caliph, if you will. He was he was like the leader of all the Muslims, and they want one sort of caliphate. And so ISIS wants to have all the Muslim lands under one Islamic rule, and then they want to use that to go forth and conquer the whole world for Allah and force you to follow Allah.
Our president has said, Pastor, that some to this effect that you know, ISIS is not a representation of Islamic religion. Is that statement true?
It is a representation in many ways of what Muhammad both did and said. Of course, there are some things in ISIS that wouldn't represent Islam, but most of it is true. Things like, for instance, when you have Muhammad taught that when a place is conquered, that whatever your right hand possesses is yours, including the wives of those that you conquered. And so it promotes and forced sexual slavery. That's Islam promotes that. If Islamics want to say it doesn't promote that, you better go back and read the Hadith. You better read the sayings of your own prophet. It absolutely does. It promotes temporary marriage, which is if a guy needs to get his needs met, he can have a temporary marriage until he gets his needs met, and then the marriage is over. I mean, there's so much I could go into if I had time to explain to you just how goofy this is. ISIS, in many ways, represents exactly what Muhammad did and what Muhammad said. Muhammad had people killed simply for making fun of him. For making fun of him. He had people killed, murdered, because they wrote poems that were mocking of him. Told jokes about him. He had them killed for that.
Right.
And this is the modern apologists of Islam can say whatever they want, but you need to read the early Muslim sources, and you need to read the Hadith, and particularly Bukhari, and you will see exactly where they were coming from. And I got to tell you, most people have no idea about this, but let me give you just something that is interesting. The Quran was written, as I said before, about 20 to 28 years past Muhammad's death. And what happened was Uthman, who was the caliphate at the time, Uthman said he wanted to write down the Quran. because up until then it was only by memorization. So he sent, and there were some writings as well, but mostly memorization. So he sent around all over to get all of the manuscripts from the things that had been written down from the various memories of the Quran, the so-called Word of God, which is not, it's the Word of Satan. And Uthman then put together the Quran, and then he burnt all of the manuscripts, all of the writings. He burnt all of them. So really, what you have in the Quran today is Uthman's decision of what the Quran, with no authority from Muhammad, Muhammad was dead, and you have Uthman coming up with a Quran and burnt all of the manuscript evidence, so there's no way to check to see if any of the previous writings are anything like the Quran that they have from Uthman. So he burnt all of the evidence of the so-called teachings that were the memories and the things that were written down in the Quran.
In contrary to the Word of God, which has many, many thousands of manuscripts.
Thousands.
And so there's proof that, you know, these manuscripts exist. They are real. And in the Islamic world, you're telling us, Pastor, they're not there. They've been destroyed.
They destroyed all of the manuscripts and the little things of writings. Here's what it was. They memorized the Quran from the teachings of Muhammad, and then they began to write them down themselves. And so he took all of them, and he decided what was God's word and what was not. He never claimed to be a prophet. He never claimed to be the spiritual one. He never claimed to be a prophet nobody claimed him to be a prophet like Muhammad, because Muhammad was apparently, to them, the last prophet. And Muhammad was dead. He didn't authorize it. He didn't check it out. None of it. The Islamics have no leg to stand on with this when they criticize the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. They have nothing to prove what they said is true except for just conjecture, and they say, well, it was true because Muhammad said. They don't even know if Muhammad said these things because Uthman burnt all the evidence.
So Muhammad's dead, and Jesus reigns.
Jesus is alive.
Amen, brother, to that. And there's plenty
of
evidence.
He rose from the dead, 500 witnesses, the witness of history.
Amen. All right, Pastor, we're going to take a quick break here, but we are in an intense educational moment here on Smell the Truth Radio. You can go to our website, smellthetruth.com, or you can email Dr. Dave, and I would, folks, Dr. Dave, and that's DRDAVE, at clfchurch.com, or check him out on Twitter at Smell the Truth, Facebook at Smell the Truth Radio. This is The Coach with our host, Dr. David Berman. We'll be right back, folks. All has been stripped bare. Can't you see that tyranny's coming, standing at your door? Will you fight while you are standing, or will you lay on the floor? The war is coming, but your ears are humming in a trance by the singing of the Prince of the Air.
This is Dr. David Berman, your host of Smell the Truth Radio. I, along with my co-host, Rob the Coach Latito, are fighting against the lies of the leftists, the globalists, and the outright followers of Satan's tyranny. Please stand with me as I speak out for biblical values, liberty, and the Constitution against the onslaught of political correctness and intimidation as we have never seen in America before. I know that I will be hated by the progressives, but I refuse to be intimidated. Please spread the word about Smell the Truth Radio. Stand with me as I am a voice for you, the real Americans who believe in our founding Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This message brought to you by smellthetruth.com.
We are living in troubled times for young people. With a 35% out-of-wedlock birth rate for whites, 52% for Hispanics, and an even higher rate of 72% for African Americans, there is certainly a fatherless crisis in America. Statistics show incarceration rates for young men who grow up in homes without fathers are twice as likely to end up in jail as those who come from traditional two-parent families. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. Children with fatherless homes are 15 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. Girls are 7 times more likely to become teenage mothers. Isn't it time to go back to the founding principles of this once great nation? Isn't it time to stop kicking against God's obvious wisdom found in the Bible and raise families as God intended? The evidence is overwhelming. Fatherlessness is destroying our nation. Come back to the Bible. Find a Bible-preaching, believing church. Come back to what works. It's time for men to be responsible and to lead their families to Jesus. This message is brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
Not gonna take it no more. Not gonna take it no more.
And we're not gonna take it anymore because we're learning today about what is Islam, part two of a two-subject program that we've had here on Smell the Truth Radio. Our host, Dr. David Berman, is with us, as always. Get right back into this, Pastor. We have all this stuff happening in the world, and the argument now, I guess, in our nation is this refugee problem. I know we've sent a lot of money over to Syria to solve some of the refugee problem, but it has not been solved. Now we have the, this is programs being recorded after the bombings, obviously in Paris, because we know about it.
Right.
You have all these things happening. We have a sect of Muslims in the continent of Africa that is doing much more damage than ISIS. So do we take these people in, Pastor? As Christians, are we supposed to turn the other cheek here and just let these people come in the name of Jesus Christ? How do we, what do we do? How are we acting toward this?
Well, I think, you have to count the cost before you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no, we should not let refugees in if we don't know who they are. But they keep acting like there's only one choice, let them here or let them die. And that's not the only choice. There's many things we could do. We could create a safe zone. We can unleash the Kurds to fight against ISIS and create a safe zone for the refugees that need that, and then you can vet them out better there. To let a bunch of people come into here, thousands of people come in without knowing who they are, because they say they're refugees, doesn't leave us in a secure situation at all. So it really is stupid to do that. What we should do is create a safe zone that's defended with the air power and such to defend that area so they can live there. We can help them with tents and food and water and what we need to help them with. Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of doing that. But to just kind of blindly say, well, they're refugees, come on in, is a dumb thing to do, number one. Number two, I think the nation is dumb if it decides to let people come in here in great numbers that are diametrically opposed to us philosophically from a constitutional worldview. Because even Muslims who are, nice people or whatever, still don't really believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic. They still believe in a Islamic worldview. Mm-hmm. And that worldview is not compatible in any way with the Constitution at all. Sharia law is nothing compatible with Sharia law and the constitutional principles of America. So there's a number of reasons why we shouldn't let a lot of Muslims in here. But on the refugee thing, I think as we want to do what we always do as a nation, which is to try to help people, but we don't have to do it here.
So with the controversy that's going on in our country, why is there a sect of people, our president, most of the Democrats or the left, why are they fighting so hard to let? Do you believe it's a dumbing down of what's going on? I mean, they're fighting hard to let these people in. I almost feel like sometimes, as a Christian pastor, we're giving comfort and aid and letting these people take what is ours. And we're supposed to protect the people of America. That's what the Constitution says at all costs.
Well, you defend your nation against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And so we have two problems here. We have domestic enemies, we have foreign enemies, we have domestic enemies. The president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, is a domestic enemy of the Constitution. He's an enemy of liberty. He thwarts the Constitution at every turn that he can. He makes up rules that he wants like he's a king. He does not believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic. I rarely ever hear him say anything nice about Christians. All he does is continually defend Islam and Muslims constantly. And I believe he is a Muslim based on if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Right.
This guy is constantly putting down Christianity and constantly saying how wonderful Islam is. And in fact, calls the Quran the Holy Quran. He says the Holy Quran tells us. No Christian calls the Quran the Holy Quran or cares what the so-called Holy Quran tells us.
There's nothing holy but God.
Right. And we just don't follow it, and a Christian doesn't follow it. And so his never-ending defense of Islam is something that's a real problem. He doesn't care what the polls say that I shared before, with Islamics being in favor of in great numbers of Islamic terrorism. I mean, it's amazing, the numbers. There's a company called Pew Research, very respectable, and their research shows an unbelievable amount of support for terrorist-type activities amongst Muslim populations around the world. There are, in some places, as I mentioned earlier, in Britain, 50% of the Muslim population believe in this stuff. Now, they don't all do it, but they support it.
Right.
And any...
Support meaning...
Well, for one, moral support. Two, aid and comfort, financial support, supporting the ideology itself, protecting people who support it. And if you look back to any revolution where you have a small amount of people against an enemy that's bigger. So if you look at Islamic terrorism, you have a smaller group against Western armies. And the way they fight is what we refer to as guerrilla-type tactics.
Right.
You know, they hit and go. In order for those types of attacks to happen and be successful, you have to have aid and comfort from people who believe in your viewpoint. They may not be doing these things themselves, but they're donating money, they're donating products and things that they can, and giving aid and comfort. And clearly, although we do not have 100% of Muslims who want to commit terrorist acts, and maybe relatively small, if some of the estimates are 10% to 15% that I've read of people that want to, that would consider themselves active in terrorist type activities, whether it's promoting it or whatever, that's a lot of people. When you have a billion Muslims, you have a lot of folks that are certainly not all Muslims, but you have a large amount of people that are terrorists, and even larger group that are supporting that. And these knucklehead politicians here who cannot see the difference between Islam and the Judeo-Christian ethic, they just don't get it at all. Islam is not a religion of peace.
It can't be.
It's not. Right. It's also a play on words, because when a Muslim apologist says it's a religion of peace, what they mean is you get under the submission to Allah and then you'll have peace.
Right.
But they don't want peace. They want to fight. They want to kill people. They're raping. I mean, who's doing all this stuff? It's the Muslim terrorists that are doing it.
And we have this presidential candidate in Hillary Clinton. This is a ruination of woman, this religion as well. It is not in favor of woman rising up in any form, shape, or matter, even respecting them in the household. And it just boggles my mind, Pastor, how wound up I think most Christians do. We're angst, we're aggravated over it, you know. So, Pastor, we got a few minutes left here. We want Muslims to come to know Jesus Christ, don't we? I mean, you shared a sermon this week in our church. Exactly about that. Why do we want Muslims to come to know Jesus, number one? And number two of that, Pastor, is teach us how, as Christians, how do we do this? How do we share the gospel with our Muslim neighbors?
Well, I think there are many Muslim people that are nice people and that are very sincere. Unfortunately, they're sincerely wrong. And what you understand about Islam is it doesn't teach the Christian worldview about who God is. Mm-hmm. This idea that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, for the world itself was condemned already. This idea that a condemned world can be loved by God is foreign to Islam.
Right.
Islam doesn't believe that God would love sinners. But if you're listening to my voice and you're Islamic and you're getting angry at me for telling you the truth, I'm sorry, but the truth hurts. You need to come to Jesus. He paid the price for your sin. There's no way you can earn your salvation. How can you stand before God and say, I've done everything perfectly? You can't do that. Mm-hmm. The scripture is very clear. The worldview, the Christian worldview, is that we don't hate our enemies. I don't hate Islamic people. I hate what they're doing. But I don't hate Islamic people. I want Islamic people to come to know Jesus Christ. And in fact, in the nation, the largest Muslim nation in the world is Indonesia. And there is a move of Jesus going on there like you cannot believe. The estimates now are 30% of Indonesia are now Christian. 30%.
Wow.
Millions coming to Jesus Christ, getting saved in Indonesia. In Iran, there's a million Christians now. Before the Islamic Revolution, there statistically was not even one, statistically. Now there's a million Christians there. God is moving all around the Muslim world. There are Muslims coming to Christ just because Christ is visiting them in their dreams.
Wow.
Yeah, with the Spirit of God visiting them. There's great things happening because God loves Islamic people. He loves everybody. But he does not like what these terrorists are doing, and he will deal with them. And if they continue to do what they're doing, they will end up burning in hell forever. Yeah. Forever.
Well, I guess blowing yourself up in the name of Allah is not the way to get there.
Well, you're not going to get to heaven.
No.
You're going to go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're going right there.
Amen. And it's, I don't mean to say amen in the bad way there, but we need Jesus.
It's the truth.
And Muslims need Jesus.
Yes.
We need Jesus, brother.
That's right. There's a lot of Muslims who've come to Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful testimonies of Muslim folks who've come to Christ.
So, Pastor, again, this is our time is short on the clock, and this is a great topic for, I believe, Christians to get a hold of this. Share this with your friends and family in the community. If you want a copy of this program, please get in touch with us. You can write to us at Smell the Truth Radio, 116 Main Street, Marlboro, New Hampshire, 03455. And if they want to get in touch with you, you know, directly, maybe there's somebody who's got questions and they want to, you know, ask you a question, they can email you. It's
Dr. Dave at clfchurch.com. It's DRDAV at C as in Christian, L as in life, F as in fellowship, church.com, clfchurch.com. Then if you email me, you have a question, I'll be happy to answer it. Your question the best of I can. If you would like me to come speak at your event, you can certainly talk to me about that as well.
Well, Doctor, we thank you for all the information and the studying that you do on a regular basis to keep us educated in this area. You're a great resource, and people can go to your website. It's smellthetruth.com.
Smellthetruth.com.
And they can get more information. Some people chuckle at the name sometimes. Wake Up and smellthetruth.com. A lot of the music you hear, folks, is also written by Dr. David Berman in our breaks and stuff. Time to wake up our brains and Christians and take back what we got. So
let's just clarify that the website is not wakeupandsmelltruth.com.
No, it's
just smellthetruth.com.
Yep. But we want Christians to wake up, and people, we want you to be alive. So this is the coach. Our host is Dr. David Berman. You can follow him at Smell the Truth on Twitter. And again, Smell the Truth Radio. Go to smellthetruth.com for more information about Dr. David Berman. This is the coach saying, God bless, come to know Jesus. And we'll see you soon on Smell the Truth Radio. You can feel the beat of liberty's heart flow. Freedom's call running through our veins. And the fight for freedom goes on.
Smell the Truth. .com